"Get up, get up," my mother whispers. My eyes flash open, confusion crowds my brain. Where am I? Is something wrong? I quickly look around. I'm sandwiched between frayed woolen blankets and the sagging mattress of an old metal bed on the porch of our family log cabin, looking almost exactly as it did when my grandparents built it in 1929. It sits high on a hill surrounded by the pine and musty fragrance of the woods. Through sleepy eyelids, I take in the green porch swing, the birch-legged table, and the smoky glass of the kerosene lantern, reflecting the stillness of the lake below. Having escaped the steamy cornland of my home for a few summer weeks, I believe I'm in heaven on earth. My face luxuriates in the coolness of the early morning air. I relax and curl deeper beneath the blanket's warmth. "Get up," my mother's voice whispers again. "You must come now. The sunrise is simply glorious." The sunrise? Get up to see the sunrise? Who is she kidding? The last thing this 14-year-old wants to do is leave a warm bed to go see a sunrise, glorious or otherwise. It's 5 a.m. and it's freezing out there. "Hurry," my mother urges. Being careful not to let the screen door slam, she sets off down the 49 log steps at a determined rate of speed to the lake below. In the twin bed opposite me, my 16-year-old sister Nancy stirs. She pushes back the cover and plops to the floor. Not to be outdone, I make a supreme effort and struggle out of my bed as well. In our thin cotton nighties, we grab our father's World War II pea-green army blankets from the end of our beds and wrap them tightly around our shoulders. As our bare feet touch the cold porch floor, we are thunderbolted awake. Our pace quickens. One of us misses catching the screen door. It slams. Like a couple of water bugs hopscotching across the lake to avoid fish jaws, we gingerly pick our way over the slippery rocks and prickly pine needles down the 49 dew-covered log steps to the shore. When we feel we've saved our feet from any horny toads or big black spiders that might be crazy enough to be up this early, we catch our breath and look up. Our mother's silhouette is outlined against a golden dawn, the first light catching the soft red of her hair. She is right. It is a glorious sunrise. Across the lake, a sliver of the most splendid red crests the top of the shadowed forest. Hues of lavender, rose, and amber begin to pulsate into the sky like a kaleidoscope. High above in the pale blueness, a lone star still sparkles. Silver mist rises gently from the smoothness of the lake. All is still. In the sacred silence, my mother, sister, and I stand reverently together against a backdrop of tall pine and watch the magic of dawn unfold. Suddenly, the curve of a brilliant sun bursts through the dark forest. The world begins to awaken. We watch a blue heron lift up from a distant shore and gently fan its way over the still waters. Two ducks make a rippled landing near our dock, while a black and white beauty, a loon, skims across the edge of a nearby island, hunting for its morning meal. Breathing in the chill air, the three of us draw our blankets closer. The gentle hues of the sunrise turn into the brightness of a new day, and the last star fades. My sister and I take one more look, race up the steps, and jump into our beds to grab a few more hours of sleep. My mother is more reluctant to leave the sunrise's amphitheater. From the renewed warmth of my bed, it is a while longer before I hear her reach the top step and gently close the porch door.
Perhaps the most important person in this book is your mother, Eleanor, nicknamed Woody because of her red hair, which is reminiscent, I guess, of Woody the Woodpecker.
Right.
There is a fantastic picture on the cover of your book showing your mother facing the photographer. She's in a canoe. She's rowing, wearing jeans that are rolled up, a checked shirt, a cap, and lipstick. To me, based on what I've read about your mother, Woody, this photo just seems to capture everything about her. Describe how your mother turned a vacation home into a vacation experience.
Well, she was full of energy and drive and passion. She loved the Northwoods. She grew up in Ohio, and her family loved outdoors and picnic. And so when she married my father, who actually took this photo after World War II in 1946.
David Oatman.
Right. She just fell in love with the woods and the water and the lake. She had a sense of adventure that having five kids, it was like running a camp for her. So it probably wasn't much of a vacation for her in terms of being leisurely or luxurious, but that wasn't important to her. She loved the sense of wildness of the woods and the friendships that we saw, the same friends every year, the opportunities to picnic on the islands, to canoe through the thoroughfares to see the water lilies, to make us swim to the island and back so we would accomplish goals and not be just lazy ducks on the dock. And so it was a gift to us.
The subtitle of your book is One Cabin in the Heyday of Northwoods Resorts. Mm-hmm. What makes the period that we're talking about, 1929 until the late 1960s, mm-hmm. the heyday of resort cabins in Wisconsin?
It was so unique and different from Illinois. The University of Wisconsin published in 1949 a pamphlet researching vacationers that came to Wisconsin, and 1,125,000 vacationers came to Wisconsin. That was in 1949. 53% came from the Chicagoland area. And the average stay was 20 days. So it was clearly a very popular place to go, and it was affordable. You saved up all year. And on our chain of lakes, there were at least 13 resorts at that time with wonderful names like Munahanas and Muskie Run and Pinecrest. And sadly, at the end of the 1960s, this kind of when Disney World started to come in and affordable cruises and other affordable places were calling that people hadn't discovered before, Hawaii and the Caribbean. And so the resorts began to fade off and disappear and either be torn down or turned into condos. And so I think that you could really clearly see that happening in the 60s, and it was a unique period of time.